Well, Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents, the parable of the talents. Now, the Bible tells me that when Jesus spoke to the common man, that he spoke in parables almost always, almost always. Now, when he spoke into the religious groups, the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and all of those that wanted to parse the truth, boy, he just hit them right between the eyes, but as far as the people are concerned, the common folks, he spoke and he gave illustrations. He gave stories, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, and we have one of these right here. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." God knows the hearts of mankind, and it seems that God gives to us eyeballs to be able to sense some things about people's hearts. Although we cannot judge completely and we cannot give accurate assessment, we do look at the fruits that come out of people's lives, and we do scratch our heads sometimes when there are those who name the name of Christ and they have no joy in coming to God's house. If they do come to church, they perhaps are just here for certain special times, and especially times, excuse me, when we have food. And hey, that's why we have the food, you know. That's why we have the food. And fellowship, and it's good for people to sit and fellowship together, God's family. We're going to do that in heaven, amen, with banana pudding. Amen. Let's pray. but I want to call your attention just a few things, because as Jesus spoke to his disciples and they're trying to grasp his understanding of the kingdom of God, his understanding of teeming with God and where God wants to work through us. You see, he doesn't give the gospel to angels. Wouldn't it be just marvelous? Wouldn't it be wonderful if an angel would appear with a marvelous command of the language. He doesn't say, and stutter and stammer and mispronounce and get words twisted around and all that kind of thing. Though I speak the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See, God wants to put His love through us. And God wants to reach out and touch a lost and dying world. And He entrusts to us talents. Now, in this passage, in this story, it's a story of a wealthy man, and he gives and divides up amongst these three servants. And when you think about this, and you think about the talents, now I know that we understand that when someone sings or plays an instrument or something like that, you know, we say that they have a marvelous talent. When someone can go out and play basketball and football and baseball, and they've got an athletic ability and a talent, they seem like they were born with a ball in their hand, you know. They just have a great talent. Some people have a talent for making people laugh and these kinds of, they can find humor in most anything in life, and they just have a talent for that and all these kinds of things. And then in addition to that, we know that as a believer in Christ, when you get saved, this is not the message, but it's definitely part, that when you get saved, God gives you a spiritual tool that He calls a gift. He gives you a supernatural power tool, something to use that you didn't have in your talent toolbox, something that when the Holy Spirit empowers you to do something for His glory and you use that gift, it's like He just takes over, and it's an amazing work of God. And He plans that to be used in His church to reach the lost and to build up the body of Christ, to edify, encourage one another. So God gives us talents. He gives us, those are natural things. He gives us gifts. Those are spiritual things. And all these things that God gives us are valuable. Now, in this passage, I want you to understand that a talent of gold, it's equated to about 20 years, in Jesus' illustration here, about 20 years of wages of common man. 20 years of wages. And the thought that I draw from that is that the talents are valuable. Brother Robert, when you played that song, Rejoice, the Lord is King, I don't know, it had a majestic flair to it. I liked that. It was down there in the bass, you know. But, you know, you kind of spanned the globe of the notes and things, and you played it with gusto, with confidence. Rejoice, the Lord is King. It was great. And the choir, when you sang, and around the world, the orchestra, there's power in the blood around the world, you know, and all that kind of thing. And Kayla, when you say, wow, you married good, son. You married good. My mic is off. Okay, I was wondering. Okay, thank you. Okay, now we'll swap. Okay, thank you.
It's off.
It's off. My talent is off. Okay, let's try that now. Thank you. Good, good, good. Okay. So my point is this. Whatever that God has placed in your hands, it is a talent, it is a gift that has great value. We had some guys that a few years ago, they all joined together, and we laid some concrete out back that we used for Journey Through Christmas. It was a great, big, huge walkway. And we didn't know what we were doing. And God sent a guy there. He had laid concrete for years and years in New York City. And he just took charge, and he just told us what to do and how to do it and all that kind of thing. We didn't really realize that a pastor could have that kind of background, that kind of knowledge. We've got men around here that are wonderful electricians and builders of sets and woodworking, ladies that cook and watch out for our guests and take care of their needs when they stay in the houses, all these kinds of things, using your talents. A talent has great value. Let me describe to you the value. Okay, a talent in the Bible, when Jesus was talking, weighed 75 pounds. That was the weight of a talent. Now, I worked in the grocery store, and occasionally there'd be somebody that had a big Doberman or a St. Bernard or some kind of big dog like that, and they bought Purina by the 50-pound bag, you know, and they would always ask somebody to go get that, you know, and so we'd have to hoist it up, put it on our shoulder, you know, and haul it out and put it in their car and that kind of thing. But 75 pounds is what a talent is. It's not a little baggie. 75 pounds of gold. Now, we find in 1 Chronicles that David, they won a battle off the Ammonite king, and they took his crown and they put it on David's head, and it weighed a talent, 75 pounds. That's a lot. We find also that in the book of Revelation, that during the tribulation period, that there's going to be hailstones coming down on people weighing a talent, 75-pound hailstones. So you get that picture of 75 pounds. Now, 75 pounds of gold, gold right now as of June, today is $1,200 an ounce. One talent today would be the equivalent of $1.4 million. So when Jesus was saying that a wealthy man, he knew what he was talking about here. Now just think, what if someone said, here, I want to give you $1.4 million and you do something with it, okay? Wow! But just do the math. Five talents, let's see, that was $7 million. 10 talents that he ended up with was $14 million. I don't think any of us are going to see that much money in 10 lifetimes, okay? But hear me, please. The Lord Jesus knew that when we looked at this passage in 2018, and he used the word talent, and he knew how we would also compare that word talent to something that God gave us that we could serve him with. God did not say he gave him 5 shekels. God didn't say he gave him 2 shekels or 1 shekel. He said he gave him a talent, 75 pounds of gold. That's how valuable God sees the talent that he's placed in your hands. Now, don't think for one moment that, you know, if you sit back and you say, you know, I'm just upset that God gave her all those talents. And God gave him those talents. It doesn't seem like I have much at all that I can do. And I might have one talent. Equated to $1.4 million, that's nothing to sneeze at. Now, here's what it is. If you have one talent, it may be that you can talk to anybody on the telephone. You just have a gift of gab. God made people that way. My wife is not one of those. My wife would rather take a beating than for me to ask her to call somebody. I'm serious. Now, she'll text you. She'll email you. But she doesn't like talking on the phone. Do you realize that there are people that we cannot visit? You realize that there are people too sick to come to the door? That if you give them a call, you just might be the one to give them hope to carry on and not to want to quit? Put a value on that. Put a value on that. The talent that God put in your wonderful hands. Don't be like the guy that took his talent and dug a hole. And Jesus proclaimed him to be a lazy and unprofitable servant. God expects us to use what we have and not to sit on it and not to hide it. Let me read you some verses. I encourage you to jot down these references. Matthew 5, 14 and 15 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Put it on a candlestick. Find a way to let it shine for Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should that we should walk therein." I call your attention to this. This is interesting. In Exodus, when God was giving the commands for building the tabernacle, he said this in Exodus 31, verses 3 through 5, "And I have filled him," he named a particular person in the children of Israel, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." We're talking about God putting in his holy, inspired, eternal word that there's somebody who knew how to work with their hands. Somebody who was a master craftsman. And God gave him that ability. And God said, "This is the guy. Put him in charge." Wonderful. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We're stewards. We're stewards together. Think about this. What if someone gave you $86,400 today, right now? $86,400. Said, "Here, I want you to use this. Whatever you don't use, you lose it and it'll evaporate. But we're going to give you $86,400 again the next day. Let's see how you spend that and how you invest that." And at the end of the day, it all expires. And then you're going to get $86,400 again. You know, there's 86,400 seconds in every day that we have. How are we using them? How are we using them? Today, I don't have a lot of time to expound on this. I don't want to keep you all night. And all God's people said, I knew I'd get a good amen on that one. We can serve God in his church. We can. You know how much money? How much money, Brother Frank, do you think? I think you figured it up one time. How much money do you think it saves the church to have the people, so that we can give to other ministries, other missionaries, and buying other properties and building buildings and all that kind of thing? How much money, if every year of cleaning, do you think? And this was a conservative figure. I remember you telling me how much money. That's what I remembered. $37,000 a year by folks saying, "Yeah, I'll run a vacuum cleaner on Friday morning. I'll clean the bathroom. I'll see to it that everything's all picked up and cleaned every single week of the world." Brother Herb Christian, I have no idea how much money is saved by all those few in your army, 3, 4, 5, 6 men at the most, that come out and mow all these acres of property, weed eating them, blowing them, and fixing stuff and trimming things. Have no idea the thousands upon thousands of dollars. And the food that we prepare for, listen at me, that our ladies prepare for funeral dinners and things. You know, I could go on and on and on. Thank you for your faithfulness. It does not go unnoticed by God. May it not be that you would identify with this thought as we close. I once read that in the United States Navy, that there are 768 ships which comprise the mothball Navy. 768 ships are parked in port somewhere all around these United States of America. And there are people that are employed to take care of those ships. They paint them every once in a while. They have dehumidifiers in certain areas to keep the humidity down, to keep the rust and things from happening. Every once in a while, they hook them up to electricity and charge them up to kind of keep things from corroding and terminals and all these kinds of things. But as a whole, all they do is sit there. Now, I understand that it wouldn't take a whole lot to reactivate those 768 ships if they were needed for battle. Okay? But right now, all they're doing is sitting there. And they're having to pay people to take care of them. You know, there are folks in churches today, not just here. I don't believe that this is a kind of church that 10% of the people do 90% of the work. It's a higher percentage, but not a whole lot higher. You know, maybe about 30%. We have an unusually active church, and I thank God for that. But there are folks that are in the mothball navy. And so we go to their door, and we knock on their door, and we say, hey, we miss you. We call them, send them a card, shoot them an email, and say, I've been missing you for a few weeks, and that kind of thing. And that's part of the ministry. It is. Well, I'll tell you, folks, I wouldn't want to be a mothball Navy Christian. I want to be an active duty. I want to find something to do. Problem is, this crew right here that I'm looking at, you've got 4 or 5 jobs. I know that. So when you find somebody that's kind of new, we've got some dear families that are visiting the church. Just love on them. Make them feel like this is the place to be. Man, I wish that they would just hate the fact and the thought that they would miss God's house. The parable of the stewards, the parable where Jesus looked at the one, and he's the only one that can say this, that had the one talent and didn't use it. Notice it was a talent, it was a natural thing. You see, the reason why he didn't do anything with it, because he had no relationship with the owner. When you know the owner and you love the owner, you say, boy, he's entrusted, he's coming back. I want to make sure that I do something with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says that every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. And every man's work should be tried by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And we shall receive a reward based on what we have done with what God has given to us. So if it's 86,400 seconds, if it's an ability to play an instrument or sing a song, if it's an ability as you're walking out the door because you have 2 legs that still work and you look at the track rack and you take a track that seems interesting to you and you take about 6 or 8 of them out, say, I'm going to give these out when I get gas this week. I'm going to give somebody a gospel track whenever I go through the drive-thru McDonald's or whenever I get my groceries. I'm going to say, hey, when you have time on break, I wish you'd read this. You don't know what God's going to do with his word. That person might get saved. And you might have given it out kind of doubting whether or not they would even receive it. They might take it home. Might trust Christ as their Savior. You might not know about it till you get to heaven. And Jesus says, hey, Joanne, that tract that you gave, that person got saved because, you know how that's how it works. That's how it works. Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This is a shorter, very simple message. No 3 points in a poem. But a church is a living organism. It's a family. It's the bride of Christ. And Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when he comes, will there be any stars in your crown? Will there be any that you have pointed to the Savior? You might not be a pastor of a church. You might not be a music director. You might not be singing in a choir or teaching a Sunday school class. But you can shine for Jesus, and you can be a bright light. Why not in your seat right now? Ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, help me do more for you this week than I did last week. Lord, tomorrow, help me to step out in faith and to risk something, to risk being laughed at, to risk being misunderstood, and take a stand for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would bless and help us to serve you from our heart. You're not looking for excellence, perfection. You're looking for faithfulness. And I ask you now that you would help us to be that. Help us to be faithful so that we can hear you say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord Jesus, thank you for these dear folks that are faithful here on Sunday night service. Help us be faithful in our Bible reading, in our prayer time with you, in our witnessing, in our giving, in our serving, and Lord, to think about those seconds as they tick by. And Lord, was it wasted or was it invested? I pray this for myself and for your church. I pray in Jesus' precious name. We're not going to have an invitation coming forward, that kind of thing tonight. We do have a young man that's surrendering to God's call for baptism, and we rejoice in that. Pastor Jim, Pastor Tim, if you'll assist with that, please. And if you'd follow Pastor Tim, he'll get that all ready and get all that going. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, this young man. Thank you, Lord, for his obedience. And Lord, may this be a red letter day in his life as it was in mine. Lord, the day that I surrendered obediently to your call. I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name, and all God's people said,